Our Father, we thank you that as we consider, Lord, thy holy word, and as we think of the early church, how on the day of Pentecost you opened the way for the preaching of the gospel to people of every race and nation and tongue. And the promise, Lord, of the Holy Spirit. Renew our church, Lord, with the power of the same Spirit, that its witness may reach to our community, our neighborhood, our nation, and to the ends of the earth, that all flesh may see your salvation revealed in Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, renew in us the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Increase our faith, strengthen our hope, enlarge our love, and make us ready to serve you, both in body and soul. Breathe new life into us, O Lord. Revive your work among us, that we may glorify your name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Our Father, we thank you for our homes and families. Make us aware of your loving care for us day by day. Make us thankful for all the blessings that we receive, we sometimes take for granted. And help us to be mindful of those who are lonely and less fortunate than ourselves. Our loving God, we love you because you first love us. Though our love is so feeble while yours is so strong, teach us more of your love, that we may better help us to know our love and grow by your love for others as well. Bless our fellowship, bless our community, bless our friends, bless our families far and near. We pray for Reverend Key and Mrs. Key as they prepare to come here. We remember Yetta as she mourns the home calling of her mother. We pray, Lord, that your presence be with her, comfort and strengthen her, and may your peace be with her. We thank you, Lord, that you have fulfilled your promise and given us the Spirit to abide with us. Grant us to know your presence in all its divine fullness. May your Spirit grow continually in our lives. May the gifts of your Spirit be distributed among us to equip us for your service. May the power of your Holy Spirit be so working in us that the world, the community around us, may increasingly come to believe in you, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. One of the most popular and successful preachers of Victorian England was Spurgeon. C.H. Spurgeon. And he used to worship at the Metropolitan Tabernacle, which we all know. And he used to draw thousands every Sunday. One day a group of young seminary students came to visit the church they heard so much about. So when they entered the building, they were met by a grey bearded gentleman whom they mistook to be the janitor. And he offered to lead them on a tour through the facilities and answer any questions. So they walked through the sanctuary and stood in the pulpit and looked down from the balcony. And when they had seen just about everything and asked every conceivable question they could come up with, the older gentleman asked a strange question. Would you like to see what heats up this church? Now, they weren't really interested in touring the coal cellar and furnace rooms. I mean, they don't have storage heaters like we have here. But just to humor the host, the old janitor, they followed. So they went down a narrow stairway to an area beneath the pulpit. And as the gentleman opened the door, he said, "Behind this door is the secret of this great church. Everything that happens upstairs starts down here. This is where the fire in the pulpit begins." This old man, this janitor, was actually Spurgeon himself. And he opened the door to reveal several dozen people on their knees in fervent prayer. The great preacher would always insist that the secret of any church, big or small, was the prayers of the people. Along that same line, someone else has said that you can tell a lot about a church by the attendance at various meetings. On Sunday, you may reveal the popularity of the church, also the evening service. But the size of the prayer meeting shows the popularity of Jesus Christ. In this booklet that you have on your shelves, Born Again in the Singapore Pentecost, by the late Reverend Timothy Toh. And this is what Reverend Toh Siang Hua wrote. The revival of the Pentecost was in 1935, and it was by John Soong. And that was the beginning of the BP Church. And Reverend Dr. Toh Siang Hua wrote, "John Soong was a man of prayer and the word. This filled his day every day. His devotion to Christ was complete. His zeal was like a consuming fire. He burnt out for the Lord." Indeed, prayer is the foundation of every church for our church. I know that when we pray, we believe. We could even pray more. I'm grateful to John for giving you this insert. And you see here, there are 32 instances of prayer in the Acts of the Apostles, which has 28 chapters. And this is the beginning of the church, the early church. 32 instances of prayer are recorded in the Acts of the Apostles. I hope that when you have time, you could look through them and see how the early church devoted itself to prayer. For prayer, as we know, is the foundation of our church. We'd like to see a prayer become a natural part of our life as a church. For it is the first response to anything. In 1 Timothy, as written by Paul to Timothy, the young pastor, is set against a background. This background in the early church in Ephesus was one of false teaching. And Paul calls for a devotion to Scripture, to the meaning of the gospel, to the courage of convictions, and to the right priorities about money and possessions. Here he tells them, he gives them instructions how to handle this situation. What is then the purpose of the prayer in Paul's letter to Timothy? As we have read, he says, I exhort you, therefore, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made to all men. Jesus Christ himself prayed. Prayer was the first thing in his life. That he prayed very often and often before every critical juncture in his ministry and life. Indeed, he used to retire to a quiet place to pray. And in John 15 to 17 chapters, you see his prayer before his crucifixion. The early church indeed considered prayer a priority. Nearly every important event in the apostolic church was preceded by prayer meetings. What comes first, as we have read? Prayers. Indeed, the text that we have read uses four different terms for prayer, and four are related, but each has a different shade of meaning. But together they reveal the nature of prayer and the proper attitude of prayer. The first is supplications, requests. These terms would have been used for bringing needs and wants before kings and authority. The second is prayer. The prayer is the most common term for praying. It simply means asking. These two words, supplication and prayer, remind us that prayer is coming before the King of Heaven and asking. Prayer is not the same as talking to ourselves or thinking positive thoughts or wishing. Prayer is coming before the Lord our God. I remember when I was in China, we were training village healthcare doctors. In all the 5 years, we trained 300 of them, and they used to come 40 at each time. And these were part-time farmers, but they were also healthcare givers from the village that the people appointed. And at lunchtime, I would sit and eat with them, eat the same food as they do. And then one day they asked me, old teacher, they call old teacher, actually old, you don't call people old in this country, but old in China is a respectful word. They say, old teacher, why is it when before you eat you mumble? So I say, I'm saying a prayer. He said, can we hear what you say? So we always stood up before each meal and said a prayer. And then they heard the prayer, and some of them came to us and said, my relative is very ill in the village. Can you pray for her as well? You see, the purpose of prayer or thanksgiving became more and more, and the people began to realize what we were praying for and what we stood for. Prayer is so important. As I said, it is the be-all and end-all, the foundation of every believer in Jesus Christ. The other two words were intercessions and giving of thanks. It offers some insight into the proper attitude of prayer. For intercession refers to asking on behalf of another. For prayer is an unselfish prayer. It's the highest form of prayer in going before God for others. And giving of thanks is also involved, because unless we are grateful, we likely don't understand whom we are talking to. For the very fact that our God gives us His care, His love for us, is enough for us to give thanksgiving. Then Paul says, gives us a prayer list. What are we to pray for? Who is on our prayer list? Almost any prayer list that you read in a church is like a hospital admission list. There's nothing wrong with praying for the sick or for the sorrowing. It's important. We ought not to leave them out. But if it is the primary focus of prayer, then we are missing a big part of what God wants for us. Because for the most part, we need to understand that prayer is having a relationship with our Lord God. Prayer ought to be indeed a big part for others, for the people around us. We should pray regularly for every missionary organization. In the early BP church, they prayed for the Dayaks. There was a mission out to the Dayaks in Borneo. Some congregations have adopted a nation. Here we have adopted the Maasai in Kenya. So don't forget to pray for people, for countries. Is this something we need to do as well? Perhaps it is important that we reach out to others around us. It might be someone who feels a calling to serve in another country. And we should pray fervently for the person we sent out and for the nation to which they are going to. Paul also says, pray for all men. Is there a limit to that? Of course, we pray for friends. We pray for families. But Jesus said, pray for your enemies. That puts a whole new slant on praying. Who might this be? Who might this be in this category? Happy to pray for those who are unfair to us, who are unkind to us. Sometimes we go back to the past. Some have perhaps offended us. Have we forgotten about it? Have we forgotten that those who have been unfair to us? Perhaps some family members have separated, divorced. There are lots of hurts and pains as well. Pray for your enemies. Difficult for us to find forgiveness, a change of heart. But the Lord does a mighty work in us. We should pray for opportunities for reconciliation, for personal blessings on our enemies. We should pray for the courage to reach out to those who offend us, offer forgiveness and healing. Pray for adversaries and enemies. Pray for doors to be open to those who persecute. And we can pray for all peoples in the church. We should remember to pray for every person, in our fellowship, whether young or old, whether they are here. Pray for Jack Ford in the home. Indeed, we should pray for each and every one, for those who are studying in various colleges further north. Indeed, we should be lifting up congregations, New Life congregations in Singapore as well. And we should remember to pray for members who have fallen off for whatever reason. And pray always for new believers who are just taking the first steps in their Christian life. Some congregations do have a prayer time where people come together for prayer. And this may be part of the activity of our church, that as members we need to pray on a regular basis. Then we should pray for our neighborhood, for people in Queen's Park. Some do have a kind of a book list where people pray for each other. What happens if we start to pray for the Lord's blessings on each and every one here in our neighborhood? If we pray, we may create an atmosphere of faith and spirituality in this neighborhood. We may pray for those who live around us in our community here. We pray for the Lord that it will open the minds of people, soften their hearts towards the things of God. We may pray that they may open their eyes to simply see how good our God has been. We could indeed pray for a lot of things for our neighborhood. And Paul indeed says, praise for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and humanity. It is difficult sometimes because some of our rulers are non-Christians. Some, in fact, are pagans as well. So how do we pray in a non-Christian community? If we remember Paul at this time, in this letter to Ephesus, the church itself was a small church in a community of pagan worshippers. Should we then, as Paul says, pray for the leaders and those in authority? Pray that they will be effective and capable leaders. Pray that they will fulfill their obligations to the community. And Paul says, in this way you pray, you can live peaceful and quiet lives in all holiness and godliness. And this literally refers to an inner tranquility, a kind of freedom from worry and concern. For quietness describes a peace, a calmness. And this is godliness. It is a reverent awe before God, a life lived in the recognition of God's presence. It describes a seriousness and earnestness about the way we conduct ourselves. A quietness of a quiet peace, a calmness in our lives. All too often, we come before the Lord and we have a prayer list. By all means, have a prayer list. By all means, pray for others. Pray for the community. But we should also have a time after each prayer for a time of quietness, for a time of inner peace, that we can listen to the still small voice of the Lord, for the Holy Spirit to prompt us, that we may feel and experience the peace of God. Some people go into all sorts of transcendental meditation. We don't need that. Perhaps have a Bible verse in your head as you pray. As Paul says, they may lead you to a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. This is a recognition of God's presence in our lives. It describes, as I said, the earnestness, the seriousness, how we conduct ourselves. As Paul mentions this, we need to pray for all kings and authorities. In a way, it's also a passion of Paul to pray for those who are lost. For in this land of Ephesus, there were a lot of pagan worshippers, false teachers. And as much as we also live in a community where fewer and fewer people attend church, there's a saying that absence makes the hearts grow fonder. A husband may tell his wife, I'm going away for the weekend. Absence makes the hearts grow fonder. If that is true for the church, then we can say there are lots of people who love the church by their absence. Yes, indeed. We need to pray. We need to pray so that we can live the way we do. For we, in a way, are the testimony for the greatness and goodness of our God. Eternity is at stake as we pray in our lives. In 2 Thessalonians, Paul says, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you and me. So let us pray without ceasing. Let us in everything give thanks to God our Father, for this is the purpose of Christ concerning each one of us. Amen.